Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This week on the Happy Half Hour.
They've been talking for 3 years about building a defense so that if you can just get league average quarterback play, we're not close to league average quarterback play right now. When passes get batted down at the line of scrimmage, they get picked off. All of a sudden, a defense that's been playing really well is just sitting there exhausted.
Touchdown, Carolina!
It's time for the Happy Half Hour with your friends, Kristen Balboni, Augusta Stone, and Darren Gant.
It's that time of the week. This podcast is brought to you by Prowling Vineyards, which is the official wine brand and wine club of the Carolina Panthers. Each handcrafted wine mirrors the Panthers' bold attitude, and the iconic flavors honor the two states we are proud to call home. Plus, a portion of the proceeds support the Carolina Panthers charities. So learn more at prowlingvineyards.com. All right, it is Thursday morning, guys. How are we feeling, Augusta?
I feel great. Yeah. I have my coffee. I got some new disposable cups so I can stop like having to wash the same one over and over.
Mm-hmm. What are we putting in the coffee? Because I know there was a while where you were on a coffee and lemonade kick.
I was. So this is, I just got the creamer yesterday. It's an almond sweet cream, something like that. Mm. It's delicious.
Now, something tells me Darren is a black coffee
type
of guy.
Yeah, truck stop black. That's me.
You know what, Darren? I am too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't need a lot of stuff. It's just about the drug. I need caffeine inside me, so it's just a delivery vehicle.
Darren just gets
honestly.
An IV of...
Just shoot it right into my vein every morning. It's like going in, getting the oil changed. Let's go.
So... we're going to talk about everything today. We're going to talk about the offense. We're going to talk about the defense. We're going to, you know, some good, some bad. But before we do, we're going to have a little palate cleanser with Darren. Darren, you told me something right before we came on the air, as if I should know about this, and I'd never heard about it. So can you please explain?
It's only the greatest thing on the internet this week. It's called Fat Bear Week. It's Fat Bear Week, everybody. Let's celebrate. A national park in Alaska takes pictures of its bears every summer and fall. And, the bears.
Little photo shoot?
Yeah, the bears try to bulk up for hibernation because, mm-hmm. you know, if you're not going to eat for a couple months, you got to load up in advance. There's a bear called Otis who once ate 42 salmon in one day. It's amazing. But they take before and after pictures of these bears, and you go online. If you just Google Fat Bear Week, you can see the fat bears. And, you know, you vote for your favorite fat bear. And I'm not trying to influence democracy. I want everybody to have a voice in this. But the correct fat bear this year is Bear 901. Some of them just have numbers. But Bear 901 may or may not be pregnant, and she has loaded up. She is the bestest fat bear of them all. So vote early, vote often. I think today's the day 901's on the ballot. So maybe we're in the quarterfinals. I don't know. But Otis is a three-time champion. I mean, my God, if you eat 42 salmon in a day, you ought to do something. But, I think 901's coming strong this year, and she is a big, fat bear.
I did just Google Fat Bear 901, which is not something I ever thought I would Google, and I see exactly what you're saying. I hope everyone who's listening is Googling as well. She does look pregnant.
Yeah.
Yes.
But awesome.
This was
and
me last
not
year. No,
but, not but, and also.
That's, yes.
That's one of those things my wife taught me. She said, when you start a sentence with, I love you, but, you don't do that. That's, I love you, but, you folded my shirt wrong. No, I love you, and. So, anyway. Where were we? Fat Bear Week.
Yeah, I think that's what the whole podcast is going to be about, right?
We could talk about William the Refrigerator Perry. That brings it right back to football.
There we go.
There's our off-ramp out of this discussion.
Also ate 42 salmon in one day. No, I'm just All right. I appreciate, Darren, you setting the tone. I mean, it is the Happy Half Hour podcast, yes, after all, but now we got to get to some business.
Yeah.
Look, let's talk about the offense here. I mean, I don't know what another transition from Fat Bear Week, right, to the Panthers is. We're just going to talk about the offense. I think if you're listening to this podcast, aside from learning new things about Fat Bear 901, you want to know what's going on. And right, I think the two of you have great insight into the tenor around here, what people are working on, and what you think.
Yes, it's less happy this week. The news hasn't been great. I mean, the offense is not in a good spot right now. And one of the things I've yelled about for years and years and years, when you watch this stuff, when you talk to coaches, when you talk to players, when you watch practice, you realize it's very seldom as simple as one thing.
Absolutely.
People want to make it about one thing, and it's only this and only that. And listen, there are things that the Carolina Panthers are doing offensively that do not make it easy on Baker Mayfield. But right now, Baker Mayfield's kind of the biggest thing that's not working. I mean, Baker is not the player they've hoped they were going to get. They've been talking for 3 years about building a defense so that if you can just get league average quarterback play. We're not close to league average quarterback play right now. Baker's down near the bottom. I mean, oddly enough, as I was going through this week's stats, he's actually third in the league in fourth quarter passer rating, which is weird. But I think a lot of that was built on a couple of big plays, the Robbie play, the LaVisca play, and then that long drive at the end of the Cardinals game the other day when, you know, the Cardinals were up 2 scores, which makes it a little bit easier. But Baker's not been great. He's not been great on third down. He's getting passes batted down at the line of scrimmage. He's tired of hearing people ask him about that already. But until the narrative changes, until he does something to give us something different to talk about, that's going to continue to be a thing. Because when passes get batted down at the line of scrimmage, they get picked off, Cardinals take short field and score, all of a sudden a defense that's been playing really well for the first 4 weeks is just sitting there exhausted, like, you know, we can hold these guys to field goals, but we're still down now. And it's just until that stuff gets squared away, you don't, you know, you see things. I mean, I honestly talk to these people downstairs and they're like, there are moments when it looks right. There are moments when it looks put together, but out there on Sundays, it hasn't so far.
I think one question that the fans have, and I mean, maybe a lot of people have, is why are the passes getting batted down? I don't necessarily think it's a height thing. We saw, and Kyler Murray is an inch shorter,
yeah,
than Baker Mayfield. We've seen
Russell
guys
Wilson
like Drew Brees, right? Yes.
Line, is that right?
Do you have insight from either of you from talking to people about what that is and if it's a fixable problem?
It can be fixable, and it can be fixed by offensive linemen. I mean, Augusta talked to Austin Corbett the other day about this and the stuff that they do.
Exactly. Well, I mean, the first thing is, you know, getting out in front of them, making sure you're going at them on their shoulders, keeping
mm-hmm.
their hands
getting
down.
Getting their hands
it's all
down.
About placement, yep, and, like, things like that. One person I did talk to was PJ Walker. He had a lot of just very specific mechanical things. Like, he's like, I mean, I've seen this. I know what it is. And he, you know, as tangible as an answer he could, he's like, arm angles sometimes to look less predictable. Right. Of where exactly it's going to go. But yeah, a lot of it's where you kind of attack people, and you got to make sure if you see their hands going up too. It's like a visual thing. There's a lot of different pieces to it. It sounds, right, Brady Christensen kind of made it sound kind of complicated. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many different factors.
I think there are. And that's, yeah, the thing, what Darren said, is we all try to pin it on one thing, but football is a chess game, and there's so many different things that go into it. I think that's a great point.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think about all of the roles that they have to play, and that's just another one of them. I think in general, I mean, I would say the offensive line looks pretty good. I mean, yeah, you know, in general, but it's just those tiny, tiny little things. And they're very focused on, you know, trying to figure that out. But at the same time, it's like, you know, sometimes they just beat you and they're just, all you gotta do, just hands up. You mm-hmm. watch the plays happen. Sure. It's just so quick.
And that's what D-linemen are trained to do, is get your hands
exactly
up. J.J. Watt is someone that's done that for years.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And some of it can be solved by play calling. You can do certain things. I think one of the things, you know, and again, all this stuff is very complicated, but right now, I know people roll their eyes every year when they hear a coach talk about getting back to basics, but right now Baker looks like a guy who's making too many decisions. at the line of scrimmage? And could they streamline things for him? Could they make it a little bit, you know, there are a lot of things going on. And when there's a lot of stuff going on, I think what you want to strip down and do is, you know, take the things you're good at, do more of those. The stuff you're struggling with, don't worry about that right now. Do the stuff you know you can do. And I think they can – that's the coaching cliche, put guys in positions to succeed. And I think that's kind of where they have to get to right now. They've got to take the things Baker can do well. We've seen some of them, and just do more of that.
And also it would follow, and we've heard Matt Rhule say this, and players, other members of the coaching staff, if you want to capitalize on things that are done well in this offense, is run the ball.
Yep.
Right?
Christian, two straight 100-yard games, gets 8 carries last week. That's probably not enough carries. Now, they're running the fewest offensive plays of any team in the league.
Yes.
Because they're last in the league in third down conversion percentage. So, again, this thing spirals a little bit. But I think if people could have a do-over, they would probably want to put the ball in Christian's hands more than 2 times running in the second half of last week's game.
As our friend Jake DeLone will say on the radio broadcast, you can't go wrong by putting it in the hands of your best player.
Yep.
Or very rarely can you go wrong.
Doesn't have to be that hard.
Another question that I, you know, have been hearing a lot and that has been focused on a lot in the press conferences in the media is Baker's footwork. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to get you guys' insight on what you've learned about that. I was talking to Matt Rhule yesterday for our TV interview, and I said, you know, what are you challenging Baker with this week? What do you want to see? He said, I want his footwork to look the way it does in practice.
Right.
And we see him in practice as well. So, you know, again, knowing that all this stuff is way more complicated than the three of us know or anyone at home knows, hypothetically, what are the reasons in which your footwork would look good in practice, but it doesn't in games?
Being in a hurry. Thinking about a lot of stuff. I mean, being in a new environment where you don't know. I think that's the biggest thing, too. And listen, if they could – you want to talk about getting in a time machine. If you could make this trade in April, so he had OTAs, so he's had plenty of practice time with all these people, you'd do that. But they trade for him in July for a lot of reasons. And you can't do that over now, but – it's just a matter of reps. I think it's – one of the things I looked at the other day is Baker has always – and somebody made this point in the mailbag in a question. You know, he's changed offensive coordinators a lot, and his best numbers came in weeks 9 through 12.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, and it makes sense. The more you do something, the better you get at it. And getting more reps and getting more comfortable seems to be a reasonable answer, but at the same time, it's week 5, clock's ticking. And you're 1-3 right now, so you need to get some stuff fixed in a hurry if it's going to get fixed. And I think that goes back to what I was saying earlier about looking like he's in a hurry, because he knows what to do. He's been told what to do. He's seen how to do it. But when the game, when he takes that snap from Pat Elflein, all of a sudden a lot of stuff gets loose. And when you get in a hurry, bad things happen. So coaches talk about all the time, and I know, you know, Matt's answer is the correct one. You know, be the same guy every day. Do the things you know that are correct and do them over and over, and things ought to work themselves out. But it's frustrating when you get in the course of a game and things, the one thing goes wrong, and then it's just this cascading series of problems.
Well, the margin of error is so granular, too. I talked with wide receivers coach Joe Daly last week, just kind of about, you know, we hear building chemistry with receivers all of the time. And last week, Matt Rhule challenged the receivers to, you know, just all of these things, like get open and all that. But I found Daly's insight so fascinating, because I kind of hearing him talk made me think about my marching band roots, where it's like they need to be in step. And I mean, from like the second, like the way Baker's feet need to mirror the receiver's feet in the way where they know exactly what's going on. It's so much more, it's so just the margin of error is like so tiny, like you can't see my hands, but like I'm just, it's itty bitty. He's like,
theater of the mind. Literally.
There's no space between her thumb and her forefinger.
None, zero. No, it's just so granular, so small. And when you're like Darren said, you know, panicked isn't the word, but just, you know, kind of getting loose, you know, thinking in your head too much. it keeps that from progressing. So you see these throws that you watch them and you're like, where in the world was that going? But it's because they're these tiny little things. And whenever Joe Daly told me that, I was like, wait a minute, this makes a lot more sense. Because, you know, the receivers, it's DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson. They're very, you know, generally pretty calm, cool, collective people in general. But, and you have Baker over here who's still getting adjusted to things. He's still, but again, like Darren said, it's week five, time's a ticking, and there hasn't been marked improvement. There's an argument that things have not gotten any better, if stagnated to worse almost. So it's like, where do you go from that point? But the walking in step thing was just so fascinating to me. It's like you have to know exactly where the steps are planted, and that's the way to kind of get that chemistry, the word that we always hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's fascinating to me.
And again, the little things make big differences. You go back to that Giants game and you look at that thing again. One of the things that I think as armchair analysts look at films and read PFF grades and that kind of thing, you don't know what the play call is, but if a guy is supposed to run a 14-yard route or break it 14 yards and he breaks it 12, he's going to make his quarterback look like an idiot. Mm-hmm. And without knowing all that, you know, people say, oh, my God, Baker did, you know, that was horrible. How can he? And a lot of times it's not necessarily Baker. And a couple times early on, it wasn't necessarily Baker, but he's also missed. I mean, he has straight up missed some balls and not been accurate. That's what's amazing is he is, you know, effectively a 60% career passer or completion percentage guy. And he is not a 60% guy right now.
Mm-mm. As he had said, I think it was week one, there was some miscues between him and Shai Smith. He said, I'm a very accurate quarterback, and so I should put the ball. And that is what you would associate with him in college and with the Browns. You know, that is not something that has ever been an issue. And so that's why I appreciate you guys' insight into these things, because I think that's what fans are wondering, which is like, on a granular level, what are these things that we hear about, that we see in the games, and can they get fixed?
And he talked about it yesterday. I asked him if he kind of compares it to last year in Cleveland when he was hurt and not playing well. And that's the weird thing about what's going on right now. What he's done over the last 4 weeks is worse than what he was putting on the streets when he was hurt last year. So that's kind of the red light that indicates it's more than just one thing. Because he's not been the same guy we're used to seeing. And I think he knows that. But his whole thing yesterday was, it's not philosophy. It's not a theory. It's, I've got to do X, Y, Z in the correct order, and then everything will start to. That's a thing. When Rhule talks about, we see it on tape, that's what he means. When they turn on the tape, they're very specific. And Christian was funny, not funny, but insightful, talking about it yesterday in the locker room. He's like, you know, they're not coaching bad football. The stuff they're showing us is correct. It works. It's on us to do it. And that's kind of where they are with Baker and everybody
the
on
execution
offense right
now. That we've heard
it's
a lot
time
about.
To do it.
Yeah. Let's talk about the defense. So I'll get the unfortunate news out of the way, because there's a lot of optimism going forward with this defense. They are an impressive unit. But unfortunately, bad news first. Jeremy Chinn is on injured reserve now with a hamstring injury. Darren, what is the latest with that? What have you heard?
You could tell that one wasn't great during the game Sunday.
In the moment.
Right.
Yeah, you could tell.
He plays six snaps, comes off the field, and he tried to get on that bike. He tried to keep it warm. He tried to move it around. And then there was just you could tell there was that recognition of, yeah, no. And it's a shame, because Jeremy's such a valuable piece, and the way they move him around, do different stuff with him. You know, we saw when he was blitzing and impacting plays early on. I mean, they can do so many things with Jeremy. You don't replace that with one guy. And I don't think they plan to. I mean, it's going to be some combination of Miles Hartsfield, Justin Burris, maybe even Marquise Blair, you know, different guys. Sean Chandler's primarily a special teams guy, but he can play some defense too occasionally. And they're just going to have to mix and match personnel, because you don't replace somebody like Jeremy with one guy. And it's tough. I mean, that's the thing. When you look at this defense, for all the spots they've been in, they're pretty good in red zone rankings because they're holding people to field goals when they have to defend short fields.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting pressure on people even if there aren't big sack numbers. You know, Burns is playing well. Frankie Louvu, my God.
Playing out of his mind.
Yeah. I mean, and he's beat up, and Frankie's on the injury report with those shoulders again this week, and I think that's just going to be kind of the way with him because he's a guy who's probably been a 25-30 snap a game on defense guy, and because the defense is playing a lot of snaps, suddenly he's a 75-80 snap a game guy, and that comes with a physical toll, and Frankie's starting to show some of that right now, but he's also always on the field and always around the ball, so you know, there are a lot of things to latch on to. They're in a similar spot to places they've been previously, and I don't just mean in 20 and 21. I mean, I think back to 02 when Rodney Peete was the quarterback, and it's like, we're going to win games 12-9. We're going to play you 16, 13 games and be perfectly content with it, and that's kind of the spot they have to get themselves to right now while they're getting stuff sorted on offense.
And it should be said that Miles Hartsfield, Sean Chandler, came in and played very well. Like as you said, Jeremy Chin, just six snaps before you tell that hamstring immediately something was wrong, and did not play most of the game. And this defense looked really good and performed well without him. And as you said, Justin Burris now on the active roster from the practice squad, someone who has familiarity, has started a lot of games for this defense, and cannot replace Jeremy Chin with just one person, as Darren so eloquently said. But good plan in place going forward, considering that he will not be around for at least 4 weeks, potentially more.
And the defense is just going to have to continue making plays. That's on them.
And they will. I fully believe that. And, you know, one guy who I always see on the field really being a difference maker, you hear the coaches talk about him, but, you know, when you're down there, standing there, you really see it in real time, is Xavier Woods. And, Augusta, I know you are writing a piece on him, or have written a piece on him, depending on when this comes out, on Panthers.com. Yeah. Tell me about what you've learned about him.
Yes. So yesterday in the locker room, it was honestly just fascinating. I got to speak with J.C. Horn, Dante Jackson, and a little bit of C.J. Henderson, who's known as, you know, more of a quiet guy. But he even got, like, some insight on just how much of an impact he has as a veteran, as an older guy, as a guy who's seen a lot. But even past, you know, his experience and all of that, which is extremely valuable. Everyone was talking about he just has a very high football IQ. The thing about Xavier, just like as a person, is, you know, on the sidelines and in the locker room, he's very, you know, to himself. He's reserved, he's mature. And on the field, Dante told me he's like a completely different person.
Yeah,
he is super vocal, very communicative. And the things that he's communicating, I mean, JC, I love the way JC put it. He, and I want to give like the context to JC, you know, he played three games last year. He's still getting used to the league. He was talking about how you get out, you run out of the tunnel, you have all of the pageantry, the loud noise, and you go out on defense and everyone's cheering for you. And you can spend all week studying for like, you know, okay, if I see this formation, this is what we're going to do, X, Y, Z. He's like, and we study and we know it. And then at that moment, you're just like, oh my goodness, you know, the moment is big and everything is loud and I am so excited. And he's like, and Xavier Woods is back there and he's like a coach on the field and he like, you know, gets us back in line. And in a way, it's like, okay, you see the way the defense is performing. How much of that is truly like Xavier Woods, you know, hey, JC, this, that, you know, it's just hearing the impact that he has. You know, he can calm people down. He has that presence and he's just a completely different animal. And again, one of the other things JC told me was like, he doesn't say a ton. So whenever he's off the field and he's telling you something, you're going to listen because mm-hmm. it's like, oh my gosh, he's saying this. So he just has that kind of commanding presence to him. And I think that's such a valuable piece in a secondary that is so incredibly young. I mean, second, third, fourth year people just like kind of lining the ways there. I mean, he's has experience, but more than anything, he's intelligent. JC's like, he knows the playbook better than anybody. And he just got here this year. You know, I think that's absolutely extremely valuable. And I think sometimes he can be overshadowed because he isn't, you know, the Dante Jackson personality or, you know, J.C. Horn's kind of status. But he's huge.
And also
huge.
You don't always hear his name called in the game on big plays. But what he is doing is making sure that defense is playing together and making those big plays. He's the type of a field general, you know. And we've seen a lot of them on these Panthers defenses in the past. And we know exactly how important that is. You know, Luke Kuechly, who's doing radio broadcasts with us, cannot say enough about him. And I think that says a lot about the type of person and the type of leader that he is on the field, along with some of those other guys as well.
No doubt.
I can't wait to read that, Augusta.
Exactly. No, it's great. There's all sorts of good stories in there. And J.C. Horn's just an awesome interview, too. Just got to give that shout out.
Yes, he is.
I love talking to him.
Yes, he is. One of the best voices, too. I know that doesn't come across in written articles, but, man, that, like, tenor of his voice, the gravelly thing, it's like, man, that's a good voice to have. He'd be good on a podcast.
Yeah, J.C. sounds like football.
Yeah, that's a great way to put that. I would listen to an audio book, that's for sure. Well, speaking of defense, we're going to end this with a live call from our very own Panther stats guy, right? Usually Darren goes, tracks him down, and gets the stat of the week, Will's stat of the week. But today, we are going to do this live. I cannot wait. What a great way to end this. Okay, we have our very own Panther stats guy on the phone. You are en route somewhere. Will, where are you going?
Well, this time I'm not going to Cone Toe.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm actually going past Lugoff Elgin for all of you South Carolina small town connoisseurs.
I think you just make up names.
Are
when
those
you get in
two
car.
Different places? Is that hyphenated? What are we talking
like
about
here? Like a Winston
Salem?
I think it's a hyphen. The high school is hyphened. I think that they may fight each other over who has control of the river. I don't know if there's a river, but I think they're on both sides of it.
I'm pulling for the Lugoffs.
Augusta seems familiar.
I've definitely seen the hyphen. I don't know if it was the high school, but my vague knowledge of South Carolina high school football. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
exciting. So you're just going to this high school football game?
Yeah, I'm going past it actually. We're going to the coast to do a little Hurricane Ian cleanup.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, giving back to the community.
I love it.
So you have a stat for us today in the midst of all you're doing, driving, going to clean up, and you're still making time for us with a great defensive stat, right?
Yeah. So last week, Carolina scored its second straight defensive touchdown in consecutive games. Marquise Haynes had the first one against the Saints. Frankie Louvu with the pick six against the Cardinals. The last time Carolina's done that was 2005. I think it was Chris Gamble and Will Witherspoon. Back-to-back games with a defensive touchdown. And don't even ask me when they've ever done three in a row, because I don't know, because I haven't looked it up. But I do know that the last time that they hosted the 49ers in Bank of America Stadium, Shaq Thompson had a defensive touchdown
Ooh.
Back in 2016.
I like the sound of that, Will, leaving us with some optimism here. Darren, do you remember those two defensive touchdowns in 05?
I actually do. That was a Chris Sims interception in that first game, and the Will Witherspoon touchdown came off Jets legend Brooks Bollinger.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
And then, Augusta, just for funsies, how old were you in 05?
05? I turned 7.
Okay, all right.
And I'm out here watching Will Witherspoon take Brooks Bollinger to the house. Great.
I'm sorry, I had to do it.
Fair.
Will, we miss you. Thank you for the stat. Please get there safe. And
before we let you go, what are your thoughts on Fat Bear Week?
I mean, 901, that's a big one.
That's
901's gotta take it, right?
we have discussed 901 already on this podcast. That was perfect. That was not planned, everybody. That was amazing.
Yeah.
It's no better place to leave it than that.
Who sticks the landing better than Panther stats
guy? Oh, my gosh. Nobody. Will, thank you. Darren, Augusta, thank you. And thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week on the Happy Half Hour podcast.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel.
Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.